Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Leave Me Alone by Julie B. Cosgrove. 4 days ago, the biggest worry Shannon faced was where Fluffy ate a fizzy antacid. Now, her husband may have lost his job. Her mentor is in hospice and wants her to locate her long-lost nephew. And the only one who may know where he might be is a wanted criminal who has chosen to disappear.
Hi, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today I'm talking with Julie Cosgrove. She is an award-winning Christian author of 15 novels, and she's going to be writing 5 more over the next 3 years at least. Her new one out in February is Leave Me Alone, is part of a trilogy, and she's going to talk about that a little bit later. But welcome to my show, Julie.
Thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate you having me on tonight. Or today, or whenever somebody's
whatever
listening.
Day it is. I know. I'm always like, when is it? What time is it? And as authors, you know, sometimes, or writers, sometimes we do get lost in our world. And sometimes I find that resurfacing to, like, go cook dinner or something can be rather hard. Kind of pull me out of where I was. And I'm like, oh. Well, who are you? Oh, you're not a character in my head. You're like a real person. I better go talk to you. Do you ever find yourself getting really kind of sucked into your writing that you have a hard time with that kind of re-entry into real life?
I really do. And I live alone, so I don't really have anybody answering me. I don't have anybody talking to me and going, Mommy, or husband pacing in the background because his stomach is growling. So, you know, I really can get kind of in the zone. And because I work full time, I have to plan my writing time, you know, and to where my friends and family know when I say, hey, I'm calling a pajama day, that means I'm hitting the computer at 7 o'clock and I may surface again at 8 o'clock at night and go, oh. <You know>? So unless somebody's bleeding or, you know, in major crisis or whatever, leave me alone.
Yeah,
I'm writing.
I hear you on that. And I think it can be hard when you're in that zone, you know, whether the phone rings or, you know, well, I have 3 cats, so sometimes they wander in and start meowing Siamese, and they're like really loud. I had to lock them out of the room tonight or we might hear them on the podcast. You know, but yeah, you know, you're like, oh, is that a sound in my head or that real, you know, because we just really get into our characters and into our writing, which for me is part of the fun of writing, kind of that disappearing into the world we're creating.
I totally agree with you. And I think it's kind of like if you've ever been in a really vivid dream and then somebody wakes you up and it's kind of like that yank through the vortex. And that's the way it is to come out of your writing world back into the real world. It's just, it's almost surreal for a moment. For a split second, it's kind of like, what?
And if you're writing, you know, our genre being romantic suspense, you know, sometimes I like almost give myself a jump scare. I'm writing something really kind of intense and, you know, the scene, the hair, you know, whatever it is, because, you know, we put our heroes and heroines into some pretty sticky situations and very tension filled, you know, trying to build that tension. And I've had one of my cats like jump on me and I've been like, oh, like I'm screaming in the room, like, all right, nobody's home. So nobody, you know, nobody's saying, Mom, what are you doing? That kind of thing. So do you ever find yourself like kind of scaring yourself when you're writing?
No, not really.
Just me,
I do find myself kind of sniffling and grappling a Kleenex in some
cases. Okay,
days.
Yeah, good.
Saying, I hope our readers are weeping too.
I know, yeah, it's so funny.
But for me, it's a puzzle. It's almost like a jigsaw puzzle. I'm what they call a panster, which means I really just kind of write. I have a basic plot in my head, and I kind of know my characters. But I just sit down and just go. And so it's always interesting. It's like putting together a jigsaw puzzle. Oh, my, wow, this piece is sitting in here. Oh, hooray, yes, I did it right, you know. Let's keep going. So for me, it's more exciting. I don't know.
No, I agree, Julie. I'm kind of the same way, and I'm just finishing edits on a book, and I was like, oh yeah, that was good of me. I'm glad I have these all things come together. Sometimes I'm like,
I
I'm a little surprised at myself. I'm like, I mean, sometimes I have to go back and add a few more breadcrumbs in it, but sometimes I'm like, I don't consciously think, oh, well, this person is doing this in chapter four, and then it doesn't come to fruition. You don't see why until chapter 20, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's why they did that. Sometimes I don't
Exactly.
consciously know. I don't know how. The brain is amazing. It does all kinds of amazing things. So, yeah. But when you're a suspense writer, sometimes I'm like, ooh, I'm really that puzzle. Wow, that's really kind of interesting, kind of thing. So that's.
Yeah. How do I get this character out of this box now?
Exactly. So, all our readers out there, sometimes we don't always know where the story's going. Right? Sometimes the story surprises me. Characters talk and they go in a different direction. And
And then you think, wow, okay, where are we headed now? Let's go.
Yes, yeah. But in a
That's the
fun
fun
way.
part.
It is the fun part. Now, we were talking a little bit before we started recording about, how to be a writer, and so if you're out there, listeners, and you are interested, maybe you thought, oh, I want to write a book, or you feel like, maybe you are called to write. We have a few more minutes left in our show today, so let's talk about how to become a writer. I know what I would give my number one advice. Let me hear what your number one advice is. Let's see if maybe it's the same thing. The number one thing you could tell someone who says, "Hey, I want to write a book." What do you say, Julie?
I say there's two things. One is do it. I
Yes.
mean, sit down and write and get it out, whether you're the old-fashioned pen and paper person or whether you're on the computer. Just write. Don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about spelling. Don't worry about any punctuation or anything. Get the English teacher out of your head. That will all come later. Just get it out there. Get it done. The end. And a lot of people, they keep going back and they keep going back and they try to rewrite. They try to rewrite and they never, never, never get to the end because they're editing themselves. And you really don't know until you're at the end which you can go back and add to or take away from or whatever. So that's my first piece of advice.
That's
And
yeah, that's a
the
good one.
second would be, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it really is. That was what I think the hardest thing for me in the beginning, because I wanted it to be so good that I was almost overzealous
Yes.
and overcritical of myself. And I would keep getting stuck. And then the way to unstick that is, like we were talking, just let your mind go with it. Let your character speak to you, just go
Right.
for it.
Yeah.
And don't worry about that stuff. That stuff is going to come later. And trust me, that's a whole nother ball of wax. So don't even go there yet. And then the other thing would be is to get into either in person or online. And you can Google them, you can find them everywhere. Find a really, really good, supportive critique group. And I wouldn't really call them a critique group. I would call them a support group. People where you can share your stories back and forth, where you can brainstorm, where people can find weaknesses in your talent, and you can find strengths in theirs, and you feel free to share that back and forth. And what would be really, really great is if there was somebody in that group who was already published several times so they could kind of guide the others through the ropes. I think that support is so, so very important because a lot of people, our friends and families, just don't understand how our brains work.
Yeah,
And other
that's the
writers
truth.
do, and right?
Yeah, it is. It is. I happen to be married to a writer. We similar editor writer and association world, similar things. So he kind of gets. He doesn't get fiction though, my husband. So Fiction is different than nonfiction, okay? I mean, it just is a whole
It
different way to write. But it's so true that we really need, I mean, your family needs to be supportive. I mean, that's true
is.
because, you know, we can't just write, you know, in a vacuum. But it is important to connect with other writers and to have that kind of sense of community. Because frankly, it's my other, from what I know, you know, my critique group, that we're in, and I know that, hey, I owe them something, so that means I better have something to, or I better have a good reason why I don't.
It's accountability and it's camaraderie, and you know, and you grow together, and that's so important. And then the final thing is, after you've typed the end, or you know, who does that anymore, but you know what I mean.
Oh, I always do, because it's so
then
satisfying.
Find somebody and pay them well. Find a really, really good content editor. And by that, I mean somebody that will read it through from page one to page whatever and say, you know, in chapter four, Joni, this just doesn't sound like something she would do. Or what, you know, or wait a minute, I thought Mrs. Smith was 72, and in chapter 14, you say she was 86. Little stuff like that that you don't pick up. You know, a good content editor will tell you, you know, your pet phrase is she turned her head. And, you know, I think your main character has whiplash right now because she's turned her head 15 times and I'm in chapter 20. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's little things like that that we don't pick up. A really, really good editor does. And it takes a tough skin on the writer to hear stuff like that. But the editor wants the book to shine, just like you. So just consider that you've written the rough diamond and the editor's out there with the grinding, you know, polishing it and making it, and knowing what direction would reflect the light better. And it's a tough process, you know, it's tension, but it is really, really worth it. So that would be my third and probably final advice.
That's,
so
I mean,
you go on to another question.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, that's such great advice, because we all have our pet phrases. We all have the things that we can't see, and having someone else, you know, point those out to us can be great. Now, we are at the end of our time. So is there anything else you would like to mention before we close this podcast, Julie?
We have chatted, haven't we?
We have.
Basically, if anybody is interested in suspense romance, I write that in mystery. And in all of my mysteries, there's a touch of romance, because I just feel that a romance in a suspense is kind of like adding hot sauce to your taco meat. It just spices it up a little bit. And it also gives an insight into your character. If you can get into the character's feelings, then readers feel like they know them better. And romance is all about feelings. You know?
Yes.
So my website is www, of course, and then my name, Julie, middle initial B, Cosgrove, COSGROVE.com. And you can preview all of my books. I have two mystery series right now, and Leave Me Alone is book number three in the Relatively Seeking series. You think of the family trees and leaves, so they all have that theme. And I would just appreciate it. People would check it out and leave me a note. Tell me that they liked it, or tell me what they don't like. I would really greatly appreciate that. Every writer does.
Great.
Leave reviews. Please leave reviews. Nobody knows how important that is, but it is very, very important.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with me today, Julie.
Thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate you taking the time out to have me on. It was really great meeting you.
Thanks. So you've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker. I've been talking to Julie Cosgrove today. She's an award-winning Christian author of 15 novels. And her one out this year, well, in February this year, was Leave Me Alone. You can find out how to connect with Julie in the bio attached to this podcast. And I hope you join me next time.
Now an excerpt from Leave Me Alone by Julie B. Cosgrove. Hey, Shan, what if we do locate him? Jessica cocked her head to the side. Jaden unloads tomorrow in Orlando, picks up a short run to Tallahassee, and then has 2 days before he has a haul for Jackson, Mississippi. Maybe he could track Manny down and speak with him. If he's still alive and living in Florida, that is. I hope he's not in the pen. Jessica's eyes rounded. Right, Shannon nodded. Or in a potter's field. They still execute in Florida. But this morning I found a website listing all the prisoners executed since 1972, and he wasn't listed. If Jaden only has a few days, we need to find something tonight. Bailey ducked her head back to the screen in front of her. Jessica and Shannon did as well. After a half hour, Jessica gasped again. Found some more. What is it? You can stop searching prison records. It took a while, but I found it. It's in the police report from the newspaper dated August 2, 1988. She tapped her screen. Manuel Anderson has been released from custody following his cooperation in revealing information regarding the convenience store robbery, which resulted in the murder of Joaquin Guerra. Shannon slapped her hand to her chest. Well, what do you know? We aren't investigating a murderer after all. That's a relief. Mrs. Perkins will be thrilled. Her friends let out a sigh at the same time. So why haven't I had much luck locating anyone by that name that's in his early 60s? Shannon glanced at each of her friends, whose expressions appeared as clueless as she felt. Bailey set her computer aside. What if he went into witness protection? The blood rushed to Shannon's feet. Oh, girl, don't go there. Please.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.